Welcome, welcome, welcome to an encore presentation of my chat with the one, the only, Saphira Kristal. Joining me is special guest co-host Katya Zamolodchikova. So, let's get into the show right now.
Make believe is not pretend. We might be ill, but we're on the mend. It never starts, it never ends. Welcome to Craig and Friends. Welcome to Craig and Friends. Welcome to Craig and Friends.
Very special guest co-host on this episode of Whimsically Volatile. You think you might be familiar with her.
Maureen McCormick from the Brady Bunch.
That's right. We had a lot of favors to get her in here, but she's here now, and let her do her thing.
No, it's me, Katya. Hi. Hello. Hi. So wait, do the intro now. Should I do it now?
Now is a good time. Or if you want to do it halfway through the show, that's cool too.
You should do it at the end of the show. You should definitely do the intro at the end.
Yeah, because then we will have decided what kind of scuds bucket you actually are. We'll have the details.
Right.
The details.
We'll have the tone set for the show, and then you can like adequately illustrate it.
That's exactly right, Craig. Okay. You do one.
Okay,
I'll do mine.
There is no better exercise for the heart than reaching down to lift someone else up. Do you know who said that, dear listeners? Why? None other than our guest on this episode of Whimsically Volatile, a queen born and raised in Houston, Texas, who eventually took New York, Philadelphia, Boston, and the entire Northeast by storm. She gives you fierce looks and moves, but also a 4-octave vocal range and operatic splendor. Both Katya and I have had the honor of having her grace our stages at Perestroika and Videodrome, and now take great delight in presenting her magic to you here. That's right, I speak of the one, the only, the fabulous Saphira Kristal.
Oh my Yankin.
God. That's shit.
Well,
was it a 6-octave range?
It's 6 octaves now.
Okay, just to clarify.
I thought so. Yeah, I thought so. But then I read conflicting reports. And so I thought, well.
Well, once upon a time, it was 5 and then it became 6. Maybe it was 4 at some point.
Now, interesting. Now, did you just want to reveal that to everyone, or you wanted to keep an octave to yourself, or what was that?
You know, the older you get and the better you get at singing, the more you realize that you have.
Absolutely.
We know each other somewhat from Boston, but the two of you have had a very long
sexual relationships.
Exactly.
Extremely.
Sensual. sexual.
Spectator.
Sexy.
I'm a voyeur. I've definitely seen her have sex at least 7 times.
With you, which is strange. You've seen me have sex with you.
With me. It was all in my dream, but it still happened.
Just because it didn't happen doesn't mean it's not real.
Hello.
Thank you.
When did you move to Boston?
I moved to Boston in 2009. I went to the Longy School of Music in Cambridge. Mm-hmm. And so I moved to Boston so that I could commute to Cambridge. It was super fun.
was it a scam, that college, the school?
That college, you don't even get a degree. Now you do. I think you do
scam.
Now. You used to get a diploma. Now they're associated with Bard College. So now you actually do get a degree.
Oh, work. Bard's program. Yeah.
So,
Bard's
yeah, it, but at the time, I think I was just like, I don't know how I got tricked into going. My best friend was going there and he was
schemes
like,
schemes and
go to
scams.
This school. It was scams on scams on scams.
Yeah, totally.
Girl, I got kicked out of that school.
Really? What happened?
Oh, I cursed out 2 administrators and they kicked me out for egregious behavior.
Egregious.
Egregious behavior.
Egregious violations of civil behavior.
Honey, the entire school heard me say, fuck you to everybody.
That's a terrific name for a one-woman show, Egregious Behavior.
Egregious Behavior. Oh, my God.
Egregious Behavior.
That is.
Coming soon from Saphira Kristal. Yeah, so what precipitated that event? What led you to cursing out the entire administration?
It's really dramatic, but my a long time ago, I come from Texas, and being a queer person of color is difficult.
Queer?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Brian normally doesn't work with queer people, so this is kind of a shock.
I think I'm going to go. Yeah, I don't really feel comfortable around gay people.
There are at least 2 of us. So, as I was saying, being a queer person of color from the South, it's very difficult to exist. And I ended up coming out to my Oh, actually, I didn't come out to my father. My biological father had never been in my life at all. And I met them when I was like 19, 20, right before I went to this college. And they decided that they were going to help me with my rent and help me with my help me with my tuition to school. Well, someone related to my father that I was gay and a drag queen. And at the time, I was gay. Ugh. That's how I felt. He called me one day as we've been having these calls, and he said, "I heard you were gay, and I heard you were a drag queen." And I said, "Oh, these things are true." And he said, "Oh, I'll call you back." I spoke to him like maybe 10 years later, because he never stopped. He never
no
returned,
way.
Never he never called, you,
called
back.
You back. Never 10 called years. Me back. And so with him not calling me back, the checks stopped as well. So I became homeless and had no way to figure out how to pay for school. So I was talking to the financial aid lady. That's what I call her. I'm sure she has a more official term, but I like to call her the financial aid lady.
And she probably has a given name as well. But other than that, yeah.
I forget it. It's some Susan Puerto Rican, financial. Some Puerto Rican bitch from Boston. That's what I call her.
Or her. Now we know her, yeah.
You know Puerto Rican bitch from Boston. So she didn't believe that I was homeless and was like, yeah, she was like, "I don't believe you." And she was like, "I don't believe that you're homeless. And I think you're just trying to, you know, scam the system. So I need your parents' information." And I was like, they can't give their information either. They're not. Damn. So I was trying to give them my grandmother's information. And she was like, I was like, "I can't give you any of that information, honestly, because I'm homeless. And I'm pretty sure that I'm going to be able to get some more money for the fact that I'm homeless. And I'm still trying to go to fucking school. Like, it's, you know, this is something that." And
In Boston.
Oh, honey, I got kicked out of my house because I couldn't afford to pay for rent anymore. And then I started living with this girl who lived not too far from where I lived. So I luckily just got to move right down the street. But I was on her couch. The only reason that I was even in her house was because she was a sorority sister of my mom's, not from the same year. They just happened to be in the same sorority.
Oh,
wow.
My mom told a sister of hers who then told another sister who lived in Kenya, who wrote on the message board, who then another sister was reading the message board, happened to be talking to this girl at the time and said, "Hey girl, have you looked at the message boards? There's somebody in Boston who needs some help. I don't know if you can help them or not." And lo and behold, the next day from me being homeless, I had a place to stay. And so I never was on the street homeless. Like I squatted in my apartment that extra night so that I wasn't homeless. But the next day I went straight to her house and basically just moved in. She wasn't expecting it all, but she was rearing and ready to take care of me. She was fabulous. She was like one of the most wonderful people, a godsend. She has since passed of cancer. It was all of a sudden, none of us knew. But it was just, you know, a lot to do. And so I was in this meeting with Elvie Reyes was her name. Mm-hmm. And Elvie goes, "I'm still mad about it, Elvie. Fuck you, bitch."
I think she's a big listener of the show too.
I'm
so
sure
this is
she
good
is.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody is
number one Patreon supporter.
Back to Ms. Reyes. So we're in the thing, and she's telling me, "You got to do this. You got to do this." And I said, "Wait. So do homeless people get financial aid or not?" And then she goes on about these other things and never answers my question. And so I asked her again. So homeless people don't get financial aid? And she's like, "You're not listening." Bangs her hand against the desk, stands up, walks over to me and says, "Now you shut up."
Oh.
Finger no way. Close to my fucking face. And I was like, "What?" I was like, "I don't understand why you're being so aggressive right now. I just asked you a simple question." And the other administrator, her office was inside of an office because this school is so small that's actually in two houses.
Scam.
One of them was a mansion. It belonged to Longy, which he was the principal oboist of the Boston Symphony. So that's how he ended up opening the school. And it happened like in the 20s. So this school was still around.
His family was still propagating this scam.
Yeah. So one of the administrators comes in and said, I've been listening to her this whole time and you've been really not working with Elvin. She's been trying to work with you. And I said, so I picked up my stuff and I said something and I almost said like, goddamn or something, or I almost said something. And he said, you can't use that language. If you're going to use those type of language, you gotta get out of here. So I picked up my backpack and left because I was like, I'm heated. I'm not going to do this right now. Yeah. And then I turned around and I was like, you know what? I've been trying with this woman. This is the second time she's popped off at me for no reason. So I don't understand why you all of a sudden are, you know, being the great white savior of this Puerto Rican woman who can handle herself, number one. Like, ain't nobody asked you to do nothing. She goes, O'Neill, get back in here. I really want you to get this aid. I really want you to figure this out. And we as people of color understand that sometimes things get heated. Uh-huh. It's just a thing that happens. She didn't need him to come and rescue her.
Okay. Yeah.
She and I were fine.
Okay.
I wasn't happy with the way that she spoke to me, but she is a Puerto Rican mother. She knows how to deal with a person of, you know, like sure. There's no, we don't have this like, oh, you can only speak to me this way. And she wasn't afraid of me and I wasn't being threatening to her.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she wasn't no Karen.
She wasn't no Karen. So I walked in and said, Elvie, listen, if we're going to have this conversation, there needs to be one thing that's clear. You will never talk to me like that. My mother doesn't talk to me like that. My father doesn't talk to me like that. My grandmother doesn't talk to me like that. Nobody I know ever talks to me like that. So yeah. I need that to be. And the whole time she's like nodding her head like, I flipped out. I really did.
Good.
She was nodding her head. Great white savior decides to come in again and goes, you're being very threatening right now. And I go, I'm being threatening. She slammed her goddamn hand on the damn desk and walked up and put her finger in my face. Now that's threatening. He goes, you can't use that behavior. Get out. And I was like, what? I mean, you can't use that language. Get out.
Language.
And so I was like, what language? Was it goddamn? Like, really?
Well, heck, darn it.
Yeah. Right. So I picked up my bag and something in my mind said, I'm not getting kicked out for saying goddamn. So I said, fuck you, on my way out.
Just you're going to make language
everybody,
count.
Everybody.
Yeah.
The kids in the classes who were writing their, doing their tests and everything were like, I heard that. And I didn't know what was going on. And I was like, well, I'm an opera student, so there you go. Yeah.
You know how to throw the voice, right? That's the thing. You know how to, yeah. Now, what octave did you use for that?
Oh, the most intimidating one, the big black octave, you know?
How would you rank the other octaves?
How do you mean?
Yeah, who's well, not, like?
If you're going to give a characterization, as you just did to the most
the Paul
striking.
Robeson octave,
sure,
the big black, like the 6 foot black man octave. That uh-huh. was that one. I guess the next octave would be the I don't know, short Asian man octave, which is like sort of like tingy and tenory, like just because I know a lot of tenors who have that like timbre.
Okay.
Next octave will be a big black woman octave, uh-huh. also known as the Leontine Price octave, which I have not warmed up, so fuck that shit, not doing that again. The next octave above that is
Do you want to put a beep in that, by the way? Because I can just beep that. Yeah.
Redacted.
Redacted. And then the next one is the very skinny, petite French lady octave.
Mariah? Is that Mariah Carey?
No. That's just before Mariah Carey.
Okay.
So that's
she's the skinniest.
She's the skinniest, and then the next one is Mariah Carey octave.
So eight, obviously, because octave, right?
Huh?
Eight of them all together.
Is that where we just count it?
Well, because there's octave, right? No, am I wrong?
There's eight. There's eight notes in an octave. That's what.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
How do you discover that you have a multi-octave range? Like, at what age did you discover?
Yeah.
I've been singing for years, so.
Do you have perfect pitch?
No. I have relative pitch, and I have perfect relative pitch. Like, I can tell if it's right if I'm listening to other things.
Okay, so just for those who don't or aren't familiar, because perfect pitch is kind of
it's a baseball term.
Yeah, exactly. Right, that's right. Clearly. So like you can strike them out no matter what, and that's yeah, the no that's the gift. Right, that's right. Because we're all big sports people. Really,
we're all big sports people.
Yeah,
but yeah. So I don't have perfect pitch, but you know I was young and I've always been able to sing really high. Actually, when I was younger.
Yeah,
I had a very high register. I was actually an alto in the choir. My gospel. Choir.
How does it go? What is an alto? Is that the?
So it's soprano is the top, then alto, then tenor, then bass.
Just four.
Within those there are different qualifications.
Like mezzo soprano.
There's soprano. There's coloratura soprano, which is usually the highest.
Then what is like it called?
Coloratura.
Cool.
That's the one that does all the like they move a lot. Then there's the sort of soubrette soprano, which has a very light voice, and then there's the lyric soprano, which has a nice full tone, but it's still lighter than what we call the dramatic soprano, which is a nice hefty heavy tone. Then within the dramatics, there's also what we call a spinto, which is sort of like a pushed sound. It's very loud. It's very intimidating.
It sounds aggressive, I gotta say.
Is this all Italian? Yeah. Is this all Italian?
Yeah.
Is this Italian? Yeah.
Lately, anyway.
As of late, they've been Italian. Sometimes they're German.
Is there a pasta for jewel or something?
Speaking of Italian, okay.
A Clams Casino or something I can, you know,
yeah,
relate
like
to here.
Fucking yeah, fettuccine alfredo and parmesan.
Carbonara. Yeah.
Carbonara.
I like the sound of that.
I love carbonara.
Do you really?
I have a really sleazy story about carbonara.
Please. Because I got a good carbonara story too that's kind of embarrassing. So I'd like to hear your story first.
So I commonly... Just as Katya, I'm not a stranger to having sex while dressed as Saphira. Now,
how dare you?
Do you remember the days?
Mary, do I remember them? I remember them every day, and I recall them fondly every single day.
So one time I was visiting Boston for I think it was Pride. It could have been for the gospel stuff, but I've been doing Pride every year in Boston since forever, even last year. But this one year, I was staying with some friends, and I was on an app, and I saw this cute boy, and he was adorable, and he came and picked me up and took me to his family restaurant slash his apartment, because his apartment was on top of the family restaurant.
Okay.
He lived with his uncle. I can't say much more about the family restaurant because I don't want to out this person. But however, we went to the top of the thing.
Maggiano's.
I was really not. What was it?
Maggiano's.
Maggiano's. Yeah, yeah. Zeros and we went up to the top and talked a little bit and watched some Fox News, and that was my first indication that I was in the wrong, like Molly, you in danger, girl. Maybe I've come to the wrong place. Why? And we talked about a whole bunch of stuff. He was not very smart at all, but he sucked a little dick. And I was like, he was like, oh yeah, oh, this was during the Hillary time, because he was like, yeah, they should lock her up and blah, blah, blah. I was like, just suck
So had you already had sex with them first? Because this is a key. Oh, okay. But you knew that it was going to be good, because to wade through this stuff, you're like, what are you saying? Please, let's get on to this.
Well, we were there. We're at his house. And we're at the top roof deck, and it's really, really cute out there.
Sure.
He was like, do you want something to eat? My family has a restaurant downstairs. I'll get you whatever you want. It's an Italian restaurant. What do you want? And I was like, chicken carbonara.
Yeah,
that's what the fuck I want. Now, anyone out there, you should know, do not eat chicken carbonara before you bottom. It's just not a good idea.
This makes a lot of sense. Look, this is the more you know, right?
More you fucking know. I learned a lot of lessons that day. So we go into his bathroom for some reason. There's a bathroom up there on the roof deck, and he's like, let's play around. And so we do that. I don't remember. I used to do a lot of drugs, and it was very bad for my decision making. And
really?
Do you know what kind of drugs you might have been on around the time?
Oh, I just smoked a lot of weed at this time. This is before I started doing anything else. It was just marijuana.
Just good old weed.
A lot of marijuana.
Wait, and when you say a lot, can you give us like an estimate? Because is it like 6 blunts a day?
Would you be waking and baking?
I didn't smoke blunts. So I made my own bong. Her name was Clarity. It was made out of a Crystal Skull vodka bottle.
Cute.
So yeah. I made a bong out of and that's a lot of smoke to be able to take in. It would hit you and you'd be gone.
Yeah,
I would do that like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times in an hour. I would be pretty fucking turnt and lit and stuff, just like gone for no reason.
Damn.
So I remember we go into the bathroom, then we go down to his room and he's like, fuck me. And I was like, oh, have you ever done this? This is the thing. I'm not about these virgin boys who are like, I've never done this before. I need someone with experience. If you've never done it before, you don't know to prepare for it. It takes preparation. You do not have a vagina. It comes out of your asshole. That's what I have to say.
Right? Like, I just hallelujah. Honey. Say it. Sing it.
So he's like, fuck me. And I'm like, okay. And we're doing like the oral thing. And at some point, I'm sucking his dick. And his dick just keeps growing.
Oh,
and
wow.
And growing.
Okay.
And growing. And growing.
So it's like Pinocchio.
And growing. And I was like, does it stop growing? And his answer to me was, I don't know.
What? He doesn't know.
He is an everlasting... wait, what?
This dick was so damn big. And
How long?
it had to have been...
10 inches?
Bigger than a breadstick?
Maybe 11 and a half inches.
Okay,
Holy shit. Like this big.
It was fucking huge, girl. It was really thick, too. It was like...
Like beer can, 11 inches of beer can.
Like a shipping tube, a poster.
I felt like I had to be a snake and unhinge my jaw just to get my mouth around
That's
it.
That's a lot,
it was
huge.
It was beautiful. He was beautiful. Like, his pictures were okay, but when he came and got me, I was like, oh, well, goddamn.
So better than advertised.
I would rather you give me a poor picture at the front and then come and be better looking than the opposite.
If you got a 1 out of 10, you send a 6 or 7 because you show up an 8 or a 9.
And you, hello. And so we do it and let's just say it got messy because I had pasta carbonara and he had never bought them before in his life. So I don't think we even finished. I don't even remember what happened, but I was just like, this is something that I wish I had known. You should have told me that you had like the ever-growing penis. Also, don't feed your bottom before you fuck them.
Yeah.
Eat them after you fuck them.
A 12-inch cannon up that carbonara cave. Like, what is wrong? Like, that's not it. That's not it.
That's not the tea.
But also, you're so right. Straight guys think because I'm horny, I have a pussy now. Like, they think they're asses. You know what I mean? They're like, no preparation, no lube, no nothing. They're like, I want a lady's dick. Lady's dick, so it's going to be perfect. Like, no.
It's porn.
I have a shitty ass.
Yeah.
Every once in a while,
it can be an unprepared thing that actually works.
Absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely, once in a while,
but you don't know that you're sort of preparing for disaster.
But these straight guys never know. Yeah, they never.
Google it, bitch. Google it.
Yeah.
Like Google it.
Uh huh.
You can't Google getting fucked. Like just Google it.
It's pretty simple.
Preparation. I Google it sometimes because sometimes I forget. I think there has to be a better way by now. So let's figure it out. Let's see if someone else has cracked the code.
Well, there's a great mnemonic. If you want to enjoy my ass, you need an enema.
Hello.
E-N-E-M-A. You know what I mean? If you want to enjoy entering my ass.
Okay.
You need an enema. Yeah.
Okay, well, you work it out. but to be honest, actually the other day I had sex... not too long ago. I don't know. Who knows what days are or times are anymore. At some point, I had sex with this guy, and he sent me pictures of his penis, and I was like, okay, cool, awesome, whatever. It seems big enough. He got here. His dick was probably 9.5 inches, and I was just like, oh.
Which
well, good thing I super prepared for this. like
the full irrigation.
And I was like, you didn't tell me your dick was this big. He was like, it's better to send a smaller picture and then come with a bigger dick than it is to.
Yeah.
And I was like, it depends on what you want, because if I hadn't prepared for that, I would have been like, sorry, baby, you got to go. I'm not doing that. But luckily you, I had already prepared for a big penis.
Now this is the before times you're talking about.
No, I don't remember.
Okay. Never mind. I'm not trying to pin you down on anything. Yeah.
I don't remember.
I actually had a happy sort of my first experience with the anals receiving. There was no preparation, actually, and it all worked out perfectly. Now, I know I was expecting that there would be a problem, but it just worked out.
Because you're into that kind of thing.
Well, no, into a problem?
Problems?
No.
Into
you know me. I love Craig loves problems. That's my other show.
I love a problem, being shitty or whatever.
This ain't complicated enough.
Yeah. Welcome to Craig Loves Problems. Yeah, right. No, it just worked out, and I thought, oh, thank God. Because I knew that was sort of my, like, that lucky moment. Do you know what I mean? You have those every once in a while.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It won't happen lucky, again. Right? Yeah, exactly.
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
And it was the perfect time of the first time, so... Praise be.
Praise be to the great anal gods. They wanted you to really enjoy yourself.
Yes. Well, they figured it was long enough time coming.
Right.
Let's just.
Hey.
9.5 inches. I don't know what I would do with that. I got a 4-inch vagina.
I didn't know either, but I am from Texas where they make the assholes large and the dicks even larger. So I have an 8.5 inch penis.
Damn.
For all those who wanted to know. But I've always thought that I had a small penis just because of the people I had always had sex with in Texas. They're just humongous. And I don't know what's in the water in Rochester, but like those people too, I was just like, I don't understand what's been going on. But then I started having sex with a lot more white people, and then I didn't have that much problem anymore.
Yeah. How about this one? The dicks on guys are super sized, but deep in the heart of Texas.
Hey, wait, David.
Yes. I like that one.
You forgot the clapping. Yeah. You need to do the clapping because that's the alert.
I don't want
to
do the clap.
I don't want the clap at all.
Oh, sorry, ooh. Trish. You're not going to do the clapping.
I don't clap no more.
You gave that up for Lent, I think. Is that
for
right?
Lent. Yeah, for Memorial Day.
They have a drug-resistant clap.
Oh, yes. I've heard about that. Yeah.
What? Well, what is the clap?
Huh?
What is
gonorrhea?
The clap?
Gonorrhea. Oh,
no, is it gonorrhea or chlamydia?
Gonorrhea is just gonorrhea, and the clap is chlamydia.
Oh, forgive me.
Interesting.
Forgive me. Mixing and matching.
Is it because it makes the pussy clap? What is it?
I don't know. They both drip, so I don't really understand why it's called the clap.
Yeah. Well, they had to split up the names, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
The drip and the clap.
The drip and the clap and the fucking, oh man, the encore. So where are you living right now, Safira?
I'm in Philadelphia.
I like it there.
Yeah, I came to your show when you came here most recently, I think.
You didn't at the wrestling ring?
Yeah.
At the wrestling ring. I didn't see you. Why didn't you say hi to me?
Because, bitch, your phone is different, and I didn't know that you changed your phone number.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right, the old
phone
number.
That's right.
Yeah.
What about social media?
I was texting you, messaging Fina, like, hello?
Social medias.
I don't know which one of these work for you. You got like a million Katya fucking profiles.
No, there's just two.
Now you got the new phone number.
No, yeah, I know you do. And now I have your new phone number. But I know you have them, but I couldn't tell which one was you and which one was the fan profile. So.
Oh, I know.
And I like screamed. I was like, Katie. But you were already like,
that's how
I like to differentiate myself from other people.
Yeah. Katie, hooker from Boston. that venue was rotted and gutted.
Oh, truly. Girl.
Truly
how many gun shows do you think have been in that fucking venue?
Too many. And they were so homophobic. They did not like my legs, my hair, my hips, or my lips. Nothing. They were not tantalized.
No. At the show, or you just mean the venue?
The venue. The staff. Okay. The staff came. They were rotten and wretched, but you know, it is what it is. No more wrestling venues from now on.
Yeah, that was
like, what the
that
fuck?
Was I was like, where
so
are we?
So weird.
This is
so weird. We got cock-blocked in that town by another promoter in terms of venue stuff. Like, basically, this other competing promoter, producer group is like, goes around with tours and they say, okay, you're not going to book Katya on this one.
Katya, specifically?
Me specifically, yeah. It's like they don't want to compete. They don't want to have two like drag events like around the same time.
Really?
Oh, that's strange. Yeah.
Mm. So they're cop block. I think it happened three times, three venues. Like we had a deposit and then they were like, yeah, never mind.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Found out it was, I feel like people who go to other drag shows and people who go to your shows are like two completely different types of
sociopaths
audiences.
And then drag fans.
Yeah.
I mean, well, the problem is we were trying to sell like bigger, we're trying to sell a lot of tickets, both of us, like, you know, their show and my show. So it was like, you have two of those shows in the same week or the same, even the same month, and they're expensive. So it's like, you know, anyways.
How would you describe the difference between the two groups, Safira? So like the folks going to Katya's show and the folks going to the other
show. Oh, yeah. What are
I
they
feel like the people who go to the other shows are like the, when we talk about the drag race fandom.
Yes, queen.
There's your basic bitch drag queen lover. And then there's people who want to laugh and like think a little bit.
Yeah.
And who might have a little bit of brain damage. And those are the people who go to Katya's show.
Yeah, that tracks. That's pretty
good. That tracks. Those people have fallen on their heads a little bit too many times. And so
with gleeful abandon, going right down the stairs, hitting the head of the post.
They throw themselves down the stairs on the way to the Katya show. Just to be prepared.
Get on the level, to get on the level. Yeah. No, I was actually dropped on my head as a child, so
that tracks. That does track.
When did you two meet in Boston? Because I know I met you, Safira, through Brian.
Girl.
How did we meet? Who introduced us?
I don't think anyone introduced us. I think we were... The first time I met you or saw you was at Jocks.
Jocks, yeah. Well,
it was at Jocks. It was during a show that I was either in or I was visiting someone. I think I was in the show and you either had just ended
the show.
Was it a
pageant?
No. When I first got to Boston and started performing, I was actually being booked for things. It actually, I think, was Raquel's show that used to happen.
Sunday night. Yeah.
On Sunday.
Sunday dinner.
That was the first one because I got... I got booked for... this is the unloading section.
Yes, please.
I got booked when I first started performing in Boston. I started at the what do you call that? Dirty machine? 60 Mondays. They did that machine, competition.
Yeah. A machine.
And,
okay.
Sure.
Yeah, and I won against people who like this is like my first competition there.
You sure did.
And I won immediately. And then so I was in the whole, you know, running to do the finals and all that kind of stuff. Well, immediately after that, Raquel was like, "You're pretty and talented." And Juju was the person who told me to come to the show in the first place. And Juju said, you should book her. She said, we have blah, blah, blah on this day. And she goes, you should book her. Book her now. And she was like, all right, what are you doing Sunday? And she booked me for the show. Did the show. Did well on the show. Everything went great. Everything, I thought that my career was popping. It was starting.
Yeah.
Then someone spreads a rumor or says, my iPod went missing.
Oh, no.
Do you remember this?
I vaguely remember you being accused of thievery.
Yes. So all of a sudden, and I was booked for a couple more
things. Oh, yes, I do remember this. I remember this exactly.
And I was like being booked for a lot more things. And all of a sudden, it all stopped because I was a thief. Because someone said that I stole their iPod. And I... I've never had an iPod in my like possession. So yeah. I was like, I did what? I stole a what?
Did they also do say talk shit about you stealing tips as well?
Oh, is that something that happened as well?
I think I might have heard that as well.
See,
because that, you know, chit chat.
This is what happens when people don't want black people to do well.
When they see,
I would say anyone, but. That's not true because there were plenty of white queens or other queens who weren't black who were excelling faster. Uh-huh. But apparently I was not worthy of that. So that was my first real experience with like racial issues or being a racism in that yeah. way, because I'm from Texas, but I'm from Houston, Texas, which is the biggest city in Texas. So it's very, very diverse. And I'm also went to Rochester where they just were like, you're fucking fabulous. I went to the Eastman School of Music over there. So they were like, you're like, this is what you do. You should be doing these things. Miss Kasha Davis gave me my first crown. She was very supportive.
No way.
Yeah. Wow. They were that family in fucking Rochester is everything. And I used to go back to Rochester to like, always be like, hey, I'm doing this, I'm doing better, I'm doing these things. And they would always support me. And when I would come to Boston, I'd just be like, oh, the work. I have to work so hard to be accepted by people who ultimately nowadays I'm just like, who the fuck are you? What are you?
Right. Yeah.
They were just I think straight up threatened.
Straight up threatened. And oh, girl, don't talk about the fact that I was in fucking Perestroika and nobody else was. When I got on Perestroika with you, when you started inviting me into that show, I kept hearing like, well, the only reason to blah, 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 and yada, 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 yada. And I'm like,
the only reason I booked her is because she's beautiful, talented, and entertaining.
Yeah. No, but they kept having to try to find some reason to discredit you because they could never get invited on.
Yeah, because the Jacques affirmative action quota is really stringent.
You know what I mean? Like, two black girls in one show, too much. Too dark of a show. When we met was that first show because you were actually filming for your Drag Race audition. I remember that because you had just finished filming. That was the reason why you were in drag, actually. You were like, we just finished filming.
Okay.
Which audition tape was this? Because I know
I'd probably
say
season six. Probably
okay.
Season six.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No, this was like season four.
Yeah. Or it would have been season three or four.
Okay. Yeah.
It was season three.
So long ago.
Season three, actually, because Juju had just.
Oh, yeah. Then that was my first audition tape. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Is that the one that they showed an excerpt in?
Yeah.
Of the. Yeah. Right.
I remember the first time I saw Brian Katia, I was like, ooh, he's cute. Like, in my mind, I just thought, I stripped you down out of drag and then just saw you. I had that kind of mind that could do that. Like, I didn't have, I would see you in drag and then be like, oh, she's pretty. Ooh, he's cute. Yeah. Like,
That happened with the dude who asked me out in drag. And I was like, you're not a chaser, right? And he's like, no, I'm going to take you out as a boy. I was like, for real, real? And like, he did the same thing. He's like, I can tell you look really attractive out of drag. I was like,
that's like an architect's mind. You know, like an architect can like look at sort of a raw space and go, okay, that's the master bathroom will be there. And then we'll have a lovely lounge. And then, exactly. And then can do
those
reverse.
Those buttresses won't hold that cathedral up.
We need beams in here. Beams.
Yeah. Wood beams. Good cedar. Oak. Yeah. what year was that, Safira? What year was that?
2010.
10 fucking years ago.
We met 10 years ago, girl.
10 years ago. And the memories we shared. Oh.
Yeah, let's get into some of those memories. So then you meet, and then you're doing Perestroika.
Yeah.
And what was that like the first time you did Perestroika? Because you had to work, for Katya, which is always a disaster.
Well, I saw Katya a lot. There was, before I even started the show, me and
Dorothy's.
Not even Dorothy's. I actually hadn't been to Dorothy's for a long time when I started drag because I just didn't understand. Me and I'm from Texas where we drive everywhere. So me and public transportation don't get along too well.
Oh, sure.
It's not a concept that really I was like, I don't understand. Where am I? I'm supposed to get on a what? And so going to school was enough of a challenge for me, let alone trying to find some place called Dorothy's on fucking, was it Massachusetts Ave? That's how it was in my mind. It's like, is it Massachusetts? What about, it's not Maine? It's not Main Street? What Ave is it? What is okay. So I couldn't figure it out for anything. So actually, Beckett Abbas Eugene, I used to call him Yevgeny, and I would always put on online just, hey, who wants to hang out? Because I would see Becca. Becca would book me for Cherry.
Yes, right. Mondays.
I was in Cherry before I was in Perestroika.
Okay.
And, oh.
Describe Cherry for the listeners who don't know the history of the Boston scene. Just like what kind of night was it?
I did a lot of drugs. I can't remember everything.
That's fine. That's fair. Yeah.
I'm like, Cherry was a...
What was it?
It was just, I don't know. It was just...
All right. There's no information to be had, I guess. It was a night that someone... Yeah.
It was an explosion of drag.
Maraschino flavored concoction of pure drag excellence.
Yeah.
There you go. Really perfect. Perfect.
With hostess Becca the Bus. And I think Ashley was in that show occasionally.
Ashley who?
You know. Yeah.
Should I bleep that as well?
I'm just trying to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, since we're bleeping it, also bleep this next part. She's the one who told everybody I stole from her.
Oh, okay.
Because I also beat her in that competition. So after that happened, and then I was in a gig with her the next time, all of a sudden I stole from people.
Oh, okay. Did you always have a bad vibe about her, Brian?
Listen, I got fired for stealing when I didn't steal. So being accused of something you did not do is just so annoying. It's so fucking annoying.
Yeah.
And you have no way to prove it. Because you're just like, I didn't know it.
It is almost impossible to prove something didn't happen.
Didn't happen. I mean, it's just like one word against the other in that, whatever.
Also, you got other people who are upset and they're not of your level of performing. So they're more likely to go along with some bullshit story.
Oh, girl,
it makes them
haters,
feel better, right?
Haters.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
They look at the bone cheeks. They say, oh, they hear the voice. They say, oh.
Honey, they couldn't take it.
They couldn't take any of it.
They're like, no one wants to hear a girl sing. I was like, I feel like everyone wants to hear us sing.
Music is a thing that happens.
Oh, and someone can actually sing. Yeah, no one really wants to hear. Of course they all want to hear that. Of course.
Yeah, I mean, and then, so I started with Cherry with Becca the Bus. And then I don't know how it happened, but I got invited to... do Perestroika, and I think I had been to Perestroika before, and I knew that it was such a coveted spot because just like listening, and you know, I listen a lot when people are talking just in the back, and I don't talk a lot because I'm listening to what they're saying and listening to what's happening in the world and what's happening in these people's sphere, and I was like, okay, this is great, I'm going to try and turn this out. And Katya was very supportive. We probably hadn't performed as much together as we had actually hung out. We went to eat a few times.
Boston Market? Boston Market?
You know it. but I think we went for Vietnamese food a few times. We ate out more. Mexican food, I forget, but we ate out a lot more than we performed together, and then I think she might have seen me perform a lot and then just figured it would be something to add me to, and Becca actually
a fruitful experience for all to enjoy,
you know.
The magnanimous talent could not be denied.
You know, nobody could deny Blue Nasty Crystal.
Oh, that's right. So
Do tell, please. Thank you.
Sathira Cristal, a.k.a. Blue Nasty, a.k.a. Ebeskeezer Scrooge.
Yes!
A.k.a. what is it? What did Tom say? It was Blue Nasty Crystal.
Blue Nasty Crystal.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. And they actually would promote the show with my name is Blue Nasty Crystal.
No.
Not Sapphira Crystal.
No.
I'm pretty sure I have the thing, and I was like, how are people gonna ever know me if they can't see my name?
Hard to get.
But I mean, Ryan Landry did the same thing to me.
And I want to talk to you about him. Was he a tyrant? What was it like working for him?
So there are people in this world who are so hurt that the only way that they can control things in their life is to treat people the way that they felt treated.
Uh-huh.
And it's very sad because he is a very brilliant mind. In some ways, it's very commonly brilliant. It's not like
I mean, he ain't no Tolstoy or...
He's no Tolstoy. He's no Shakespeare. But
he ain't no Emily Dickinson.
He's funny. He's funny. He's funny. Funny if you've been dropped on your head a few times. If you've had a lot to drink and you've done a lot of drugs, he's hilarious.
No. Oh, there you go.
And I happen to have had a lot to drink and done a lot of drugs. And so I thought that... And I think that like a lot of his stuff is really great, actually. And I don't want to discredit any of his shit. It's great.
Wizen was amazing.
But there is a way to treat people to get the best out of them. And he did not do that all the time. He did another way, which is a way to treat people to get something out of them. It also is a way to treat people to get them to be addicted to things as well. And it's just like, and I don't mean like he'll get you addicted to something, but you have to, there is something that you have to do to,
to
pacify that, like the experience that you just fucking had with someone. And you're like, I'm not an idiot. I'm not a moron. I'm not stupid. I'm not all these things that I'm being berated as every fucking day because I came in a second early or because I came in a second late. And that was never my fucking issue. One time I missed one rehearsal because he scheduled it last minute. Like right before we left, it wasn't a part of the actual schedule. So I had the actual schedule in my mind. And then all of a sudden he schedules another rehearsal last minute. Now, mind you, we don't get paid that much. I got paid $300 for the whole run of the show, plus the blah, blah, blah.
And also, they're not doing Wagner. They're not doing Wagner at the fucking, like, you know, Boston Symphony.
No.
This is in the basement of a fucking gay bar.
For those not familiar, though, just to paint a picture, right? So these would be these, like, the parody shows, right? So Ryan Landry would do, I don't know, pick a show.
This one was Mrs. Grinchley's Christmas Carol.
Right. Okay. And in terms of time commitment, how long would this $300 cover? Like in terms of when you start a rehearsal?
Weeks.
Right. Weeks. A long time.
There were weeks of rehearsals.
You would have to be intensely dedicated to the quote unquote cause of the Ryan Landry show, or else you would be
Paid thousands of dollars for this show. And I'm getting paid $300. Now, the funny thing about this show is that this show was a show that we did the previous winter. We had done this Christmas before. I'm a trained actor and opera singer, and I have a mind that will keep things, you know.
Yeah.
Memories.
So
yeah,
we go back, we come back, and I have all the same roles that I had before. I know all this. I knew every single thing that we did the year before. Nothing had left my memory. So there was no real, so I was really like, okay, I have to be there for this thing. And I was never one of the people who had to be reminded of anything, who had to learn anything new. I just like did everything. I was always on time. No one ever mentioned that. But the one time that I'm late to this thing and he calls me saying, where are you? And I'm at home watching fucking
Fox News again,
Jungle Book or some bullshit like that. I don't know what was on TV, but I was at home just watching it because I was like, I don't have to be a thing to this time. So I just need to relax and like relax my body. He calls me. He's like, where are you? And I was like, huh? He's like, we have rehearsal right now. And I was like, oh shit. He's like, get here now. Okay. I get there. I'm like, cool. By the way, none of the parts that I have are going to make or break this performance.
Sure.
Just saying. Like, it's not, you know, no one's going to die. Nothing's going to happen. So I get there and he like takes me in the back and this is the thing that he does. When I moved to Provincetown, it was because, remember, I was homeless. Right. Remember, I was homeless. So when I was homeless, I stayed with my friend Dante. His roommate, when I went to Rochester one time to make some money so that I could start, you know, contributing, because I wasn't able to contribute because I wasn't making any money. And I was trying to like do that.
And would this be after you were frozen out of the thing in Boston because of the alleged stealing thing?
Oh, this was years later. This was
2011. Oh, it was years later. Okay.
This was actually the next year. I was doing better because I had been established with Ryan Landry now. So like I was doing better. People were like, oh, she's got talent. Things started getting better.
Sure.
His roommate threw away all my things while I was in Rochester. So, like, there's a good portion of my life that I just don't have anymore. Just threw it all away.
Oh, my God.
Like, jackets that my grandfather gave me, all sorts of stuff. Just gone.
What the fuck is...
So, he was troubled as well. And it's easy to do something like that to me and not your roommate because, you know, you're mad at them, but you might as well just do it to me because I'm living there as well. So, I had to move. I had to figure out something to do. And Ryan said, come to Provincetown. I'll pay your first month's rent and you'll pay me back and you'll find a job. You'll find a job. We'll find you a job. And honestly, that turned my life around. So I do owe him a great debt of appreciation for that, because if it weren't for that, I don't know what would have happened to me. But I ended up doing that next show for free because I still owed him $300.
Oh, gotcha.
So
uh-huh.
because of that...
indentured theatrical servitude.
Indentured theatrical servitude.
Right.
No, ma'am.
And so I wasn't getting paid, but I had rent to pay, and I was doing massages, actual massages. Maybe they thought they were going to get a little extra, but they didn't. But I was doing massages at night to like...
rub and tugs?
No, that's what I'm saying. Not rub and tugs. Just an actual rub. I did a
no
full
tugs.
Hour
no
and a half...
Yeah.
No tugs, but it was okay.
An hour and a half. That's
an hour and a half. Well, an hour and a half was 1-6. I actually worked at P-Town Massage as a receptionist, so I knew what the prices were for that. And so what I would do is just take their prices and use them as my prices.
Oh, that's good. That's a good move, yeah.
So I was in Boston and telling people this is how much the thing is. And because I would do it in drag, because I know that they wanted more, but they weren't going to get more because I'm just not that kind of girl.
And also they're not asking outright, right? So it's like vague. So really they can't say that they got screwed over. You never promised anything.
They didn't get screwed over because they would have to pay that much for an actual massage that of the quality that I gave them anyway. So whoopty fucking do. And I was beautiful. And so whatever you do after I leave is your thing. You got a massage from a beautiful lady. And so he didn't know why I was so tired. He was like, you don't even have a job. And I was like, number one, fuck you. The only reason that I don't have a job is because I don't have a job here and I couldn't get a job here. I've never worked a day of my life in Boston in like that kind of job setting. I applied to many jobs, couldn't get them. I wonder why. But in Provincetown, I definitely got jobs. Whenever I went back to Provincetown, I would go there and work and do things there.
Yeah.
So it just, he yelled at me and then he was like, don't ever ask me for money again. And then like, we went to do the show. Well, during the show, something happened. I think I had one glove missing, but we wanted to start it. So I was like, I'll find it during the show. But for this, he was like, where's your glove, Sapira? Or Godiva is what they called me.
Oh, right. Godiva. Because chocolate?
Yes, bitch.
Because black people taste like chocolate, as everyone knows.
Well, I do, but still.
I hate that shit.
He doesn't know that.
For clarification, when did you start getting called Godiva? Did Ryan Landry start calling
you
that?
They give you an orphan name.
They give you like an orphan name. And,
yeah.
And
the gold. So, right. So, and again, just for those not familiar, his troop is the Gold Dust Orphans, right?
Yes.
That's right.
They give you an orphan name.
People who are, you know, it's funny. People who are familiar with Peaches Christ, it's very Ryan Lynch's productions are a very similar thing.
Analogous kind of to that sort of thing. Yeah, yeah. Like although, from what I've heard, Peaches is a little bit more fun to deal with.
Well, yeah. I would think so. I would think so, yeah.
I was like, I haven't met her, but I just feel like it probably would be.
Yeah.
So he called me Godiva and said, Godiva, where's your glove? And I said, oh, I don't have it now, but I'll have it by the thing. I just couldn't find it at the moment since we wanted to start so early. In this time, he's like, go get it, stupid. And then he goes, blah, 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 and then calls me an idiot and then calls me a moron. And I think that by now you understand that I'm not the kind of person who lets someone treat me a certain type of way. But you know my story from LV, and
I'm getting that impression.
Yeah,
slowly.
Yeah. So I, Billy Huff,
the guy who does the piano stuff.
Yeah,
sing along with Billy or whatever.
Yeah, Billy is in the show, and he's standing right next to me, and everyone's hearing Brian berate me in these like, he's just like going off, and he goes, "Stop it, stop it." He just like whispers, "Stop it," and to know that like. they're like, this is happening. And like other people are like, this is like really not supposed to be happening. And this is something that happens all the time to anyone who pisses him off in his organization.
Yeah. Totally. I've seen it.
I'm just not that bitch.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not the bitch.
Yeah.
I don't know who you thought you were talking to, but I'm not that bitch.
Yeah.
So I remember jumping up like fucking Donkey Kong. I jumped up twice and stomped on the ground and then ran onto the stage and hit whatever set piece was near me and said, I don't know who the fuck you think you're talking to, but I'm not that motherfucking one. Don't ever call me God. And I just went off and I was like, you do not talk to me like that. I don't know why you're talking to me like this, but do not do it. I am not the one. If you want to fight, like, we can do that, but I'm not going to have this conversation with you. I have apologized for what I did. I know I was wrong, and I am sorry, but do not call me out of my goddamn name. I am not stupid. I am not an idiot. I'm the only one who remembers this entire play from last year, so don't ever come for me and my intellect, you asshole. I don't think I called him an asshole. I tried to keep it as clean as possible without insulting him. And I turned around and I said, so let's get that clear. And he goes, you are an idiot if you do this. And I said, see, you don't understand what I just said. And I go back onto the thing and we go at it. And I'm like, and he's screaming. And I'm like, you're not going to overtalk me. I'm an opera singer. So you can try all you fucking want, but I can just drown. And I'm screaming. And I'm not like screaming, but I am
raising your voice.
The thing, it is going straight to the mask. It is out there as if I am projecting over a fucking orchestra. You cannot hear him over me. All you can hear is me screaming at him. And he's just like, and I even get down and I was like, I've said I'm sorry so many times, but you yourself say you don't want to hear us say sorry. You want us to do better. So don't ask me to apologize a fucking again. And then he just goes, all right, get on stage. Let's do the show. I called him out on his thing. Was like, I've said I'm sorry several times, and I'm here. Like, I don't know what else you want from me.
Right.
Also, you're not Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. Like, you're not the main. Like, you're not the lead, right?
No.
Were you playing in that one? Because I saw it. I remember
one of the Cratchit kids, and then I sang Silent Night.
Well, you know, without the glove, it's all ruined, Silent Night.
Also, you know, he has lots of puppets, so I was in one of the things for the puppet.
Yeah.
So like it was like whatever, but like we've done the show so many times. God damn. Like what's going on?
And it's not like, again, it's not Broadway. It's puppets on strings and pulleys and levers and cardboard and wigs under a gay bar.
And it's great. It's a good show, but
it's fun, like, funny, amazing,
it's
but
fun
not
and
worth
funny
it.
And but you're charging all this money for these people and you're still paying us. I got paid $300. There was no reason that I shouldn't have made $300 a week doing that show.
Right.
Bro, seriously. Yeah.
Like, okay, my part's not too big. $300 a week is a substantial amount of money for me that I can pay my rent and do these things and come to this rehearsal. But $300 at the end of the run, that is
criminal.
Borderline slave labor.
It's volunteering.
It's volunteering with a stipend.
Yeah.
And for that, no one should be getting that kind of nasty attitude from the person who's like,
he should be licking your ass.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't want him to lick my ass.
You don't.
Isn't there also the problem too? Cause he is the guy behind Showgirls, right? So then a lot of people sort of, tolerate his bullshit because they feel that without him, they're not going to have a chance to do anything.
Oh, right.
I had a falling out with him about Showgirls. So, like,
well, he had a falling out with The Crown and Anchor when he punched the guy and they got into a fist fight.
Oh, he pushed him and threw a chair at him. And that's the day that he realized that he was not as big and bad as he thought he fucking was.
Right.
Because Rick Murray said, fuck this shit. Fuck your Showgirls. Get the fuck out of here. Throw your fucking show out of here. Whatever show you had going on here, whatever play you were going to do, not happening here. And then he tried to take it all. He took it all around. He took Showgirls all around the Provincetown. Like, it was everywhere.
Yeah, the A House.
Every bar.
Yeah,
it was the A House. It was at the Crown and Anchor. It was at, the Governor Bradford. It was at Pied Bar. It was like wherever they could put the fucking show, they put that show. And they tried to get it in a bigger event. And Rick Murray is a part of the board of the goddamn town. And he said,
nope.
Every time. Nope. And he owned so much of the goddamn town. It was like, you don't own that much in this damn town. You have your house and you had a little store. Like, whoopty fucking do. This is where it happened. They brought in another show called Audition, and they had Kevin Aviance and Marty Gold coming.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah.
And that year, I had no plans. This is right before I moved to Philly. It was in between New York and Philadelphia.
And wait, can I, Sefira, can I interrupt you for just 1 second? I just want to let you guys know that in about 10 minutes, I'm going to have to get a package. That's all.
How big is the package?
It's about 9.5 inches.
Oh, okay.
But very, very thin.
He doesn't watch Fox News, does he?
I found out that I don't like, well, hold on, you're going to get me off track. But okay, I don't like thin dicks because it just
Dagger dicks. dagger dick. Get that dagger dick away from my booty hole.
Get that dagger dick away.
I'd rather have like short and fat, like those emergency buttons in the superhero movies, like the, you know, the,
yeah,
the big round button, you know?
So, actually, okay, never mind. I have a lot of sex stories. So,
and we'll get to some of those. I think
this whole show could be just sex stories for me.
Let's get to it. Yeah.
I'm an opportunity.
we got nowhere else to be. I mean, I don't know. He's got a package coming, but frankly,
let me ask you something, Sevier. I want to ask you. So, when you did discreet encounters as a lady with discerning gentlemen in Boston, did you host or did you travel?
It depended.
Really? You traveled?
I traveled sometimes.
Okay.
When I would do the are you talking about
hooking up and drag?
Oh, just hooking up, not the massaging.
Not the massaging, no.
The hooking up and drag. Yeah, it depended. I don't remember a lot of that stuff, honestly. But I would host a lot. I wouldn't travel too often. I would only travel if they came and got me. Like that story I was telling you about the ever growing penis. He came and picked me up in like an Escalade. And I was like, this is going to be great. He's got an Escalade and his face looks like it was carved by Da Vinci or whoever carves shit. Like it was just...
Jonathan Carver. Yeah. But it's danger. Craigslist killer, mama. Craigslist killer.
Yeah, but I'm a 6-foot-tall black man, so I wasn't really that afraid. And my dad's a trainer for the UFC and taught self-defense classes all my life. So I think I'm fine.
Skilled in opera and self-defense. That's quite a combination.
Yeah, I mean, unless you like fucking... And I was a top at the time. Like, Like when I lived in Boston, I didn't really get fucked that often. Like, I don't think ever. Like, I was a strict top. And it's only in my older, it's only since I've become an older lady. That,
an elite queen.
Elite queen that I've been like, you know what? That's a lot of work. I'm just going to sit here and you can do all the work. And it feels kind of good. If you prepare, if you like stretch out, like just like if you're going to perform, you need to stretch. If you're gonna do up the jumps and ups and blah blah blah, you need to stretch. If you're gonna take big dick, you need to stretch. You need to put something else in there before that unencumbered penis just comes inside and just goes to work. And you're like,
or that dagger dick starts poking, and before you know it, you got
dagger dick has to leave. If the dick ain't good, I make up a reason why someone has to leave.
Like, oh my God, I have diarrhea. Diarrhea is coming right now. Oh my God, imminent flow. I prefer a 75% erect penis because it's like,
really?
I get on it when it's hard, but when it gets 75%, it loses a little bit of the hardness. It gets a little bit spongy. That's when it hits my spot.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I used to find that only like humongous penises were like that. They have to be humongous on a skinny person because they don't have the blood flow to really like supply it as much as you.
Sure. Sure. So they're a little woozy.
But they go fully catatonic when it's fully erect. Yeah.
And so like, so it only gets so hard. And so you're like, oh yay. It only gets so hard. So you put it in there and it doesn't feel like, oh God.
Yeah. You got to snake it in like a slinky or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, they're woozy, so they're going to go along with whatever you're into at that point.
What's going on? Oh, sex. Yeah.
The bigger it is, the harder it probably won't get unless they had some Viagra.
Science.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like those. That's the that was the real reason why I was like, I'm doing big dicks only, because those small dicks are like, yeah, let's go.
And they feel like they got something to prove too. They're trying to
and they have something to prove.
It's like, no, you just bend over and I'll fuck you.
The dick is good. Just go slow. Just do the things. There's that guy who was like bigger than his picture.
Yeah.
Was like, let me just take my time in it. And I was like, no, I don't have time. You need to stop. Like, this thing is huge. I was not prepared for this. And then after a while of saying that in your mind, you just go, oh, okay, whatever. This actually feels good now. And then he's done. And then you're like, you're done? So we're going to go again in like 2 minutes, right?
He's did
like,
he?
No, I got to go home. I'm tired.
Oh, gag.
It's 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, well, there you go.
But so now you're versatile, is what you're saying, in the in your mature lady age. Yeah. And that's more fun. You sort of get to do both things.
Yeah. I mean, I like to top. I top my boyfriend and maybe occasionally someone else. Otherwise, I'm like, just stick it in me. I just want to, like, lay here. I don't feel like doing anything. The most I'll do is, like, get them hard with a blowjob. And then I'm like,
you don't do a little moaning?
Yeah, I like moan if something on TV happens and it's like really interesting.
Otherwise, you're saving your vocal skills for another time. Brian, have you been having relations in this Corona time? I mean, we've been lucky to avoid talking about. Okay, yeah, no, I've just been having FaceTime sex.
I've been having mirror time sex.
Right. Oh, good for you.
I look in the mirror and I say hi, hello, no.
There you go. Yeah.
Just kidding. Just
give it to yourself, Miss Thing.
But I did watch a porn the other day.
What's your porn taste lately?
It turned into fisting, which I didn't expect. Oh, and I'm not generally a fan, but Sevira, everybody in LA is into fisting. Every single person. Everyone. Gay or straight.
I believe it.
So
I believe it.
And my friend was saying that he works in porn in the industry, like runs websites and stuff, that he predicts that in 20 years, 10, 20 years from now, scat will be just as accepted as fisting is now.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah, it's because of lazy bottoms.
Oh, there you go.
People are like, I don't want to clean out. Just, are you into this? Yeah?
Me?
No. I'm just saying, like, okay.
No.
Got another story.
I can't get the dick hard again if there's doo-doo.
Yeah. No.
Well, Safira has a story, though. Safira has a story.
I have a story. When I was living in Rochester, I was interested in this guy that I met online, and then they came to my school and we hung out, and you know, we watched opera together. We had the same interests. It was really cute. They didn't live too far, so they would always say something like, you know, they would like allude to like, you know, it's natural. Like, natural things happen.
No, it's a natural digestive process.
I'd be like, oh, I got to use the restroom. I got to prepare for this. He would be like, leave the door open.
Really?
What now? Oh, no, Mary.
And it still didn't occur to me. This is the funny thing. It never occurred to me that this was something that they were into.
He wanted to suck a turd out of your hole.
Or I would say, I have to clean out to do that. And he was like, don't do that. Don't worry about that. It's fine. Whatever.
He wants
it's
a natural, mudslide. Ugh, gross.
But they didn't. But he never like said, I'm into it. He just said, it's natural. Whatever happens. You know, I always call it an occupational hazard. If something like that happens.
Totally.
Occupational hazard. It happens.
Yeah, it's not personal. Yeah. It's drag.
I'm not into it, but like, it's not personal. It's drag. And so I think one day we were talking. I think I was visiting family or something. And they were like, you're not going to be into what I'm into. And they were always distancing themselves from me. And I couldn't figure it out because we got along so well and I was really into them. And they were like basically afraid of the way that I react to what they were into.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what are you talking about? And they like messaged me. They were like, this is what I'm into. And they sent me their login to a website.
Oh, dear.
I logged into the website and I was like, oh.
What was it? Oh. What was in the website? What was on the website, Mama?
It was like a porn hub for fucking scat play.
Eating shit, drinking shit.
Eating shit, shitting, like special ways of just shitting on the toilet that like you're just like perched up on the toilet like this and just shitting, and then you take the shit, and then I was just like,
So we take the shit out of the bowl and then.
Oh no! You as it's squeezing out of your ass like Go-Gurt, you fucking take it. And
you make a clay pottery like in Ghost. Two of you like put it on the wheel.
Girl, they had people sitting behind each other.
My Unchained Melodies.
Oh, my love.
Oh, no.
My darling, you. All this shit.
I hung for your scat. Yeah, okay. Awful.
So it was something else. And I just was like, oh, okay. And sometimes when you like somebody, you're like, I'll see if I can get into this.
Yeah.
But I wasn't into like
that degree.
People like say, go to the bathroom and take a video while you're using the restroom. Okay. That's not that much of a thing for me to do.
Sure.
It's not a big deal.
What about farts?
If he wanted me to fart in his mouth?
Yeah.
We never really got there. I think he just, you know, some people, they peep that you're not into what they're into.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
In the way
of course.
They're
of
not
course.
In the way that you're not in the way they're into it. And they go, you know, this is not working.
Yeah.
Because they want you to be as excited about it as they are.
Of course.
Yeah. You have to be excited. Like, that's the kind of thing you got to be into.
You got to meet on that specialty site.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not gonna bump into them at Barnes and Noble.
No.
Oh, you like getting shit in your mouth? It's me too. Let's go fist. You know,
it's not like, oh, okay, I'll go with you to the ball game, even though I'm not that into it. You know, it's not that kind of thing. Yeah.
It's a different kind of red sock.
I don't think it was like shit in mouth type things. I think it was just like, I don't mind shit on my dick. I don't mind this kind of thing. I don't know how deep it went for them, honestly. I just remember it being like, oh, I don't know. I felt like after that came out, I think we might have had sex one more time. And I don't think, and nothing happened. That was the cleanest sex we probably ever had.
Sorry, one second, you guys. The package is here.
Treat yourself right and head on over to patreon.com/CraigandFriends. Look at the reward tiers, see which one jumps out at you that you desire the most, and then just go for it. Grab life by the suspenders and pull at patreon.com/CraigandFriends.